The Ukrainian Air Force says they shot down all 23 drones and 5 out of 6 missiles launched by Russia on Kyiv in the early hours today. Joseph Lindsley is in Lviv. Joe, what are you hearing about what the situation is in Kyiv today?
Hey, Bob. Good afternoon from Lviv. And yeah, indeed, it's calm in Kyiv. We had yet another Russian nighttime attack between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. In particular, there were Russian missiles and drones traveling throughout the country in that usual, you know, dance macabre. You don't know which way they're going. They're twisting and turning, trying to confuse the air defense system. And then ultimately, a number of them flocked toward Kyiv. Of course, Kyiv is very well protected in particular because you have the Patriot missile system from the U.S., which is, you know, when you're in Kyiv during such an attack, the Patriot missile system, when it intercepts a Russian missile, it's incredibly loud. It's one of the loudest sounds you can hear, for most people in the war. But it's a good sound. You want to hear that. You know that the Patriot is doing its work. So it was a loud night in Kyiv, but successful on that score in that the city was protected. And we look at, what's happening in Kharkiv, we had sort of a spike in attacks over the weekend. It's calm there now, but in the city, but the Russians, by many accounts, have sustained significant losses as they've tried to push, to invade Kharkiv region north of Kharkiv city. They haven't gained any ground since May 24th, and now we've seen, according to open source intelligence and satellite images and videos from Ukrainians, that the Russians have been, that little territory that they did gain there north of Kharkiv city, they're now trying to build fortifications, to build trenches there to sort of claim that territory. But I've seen some videos of Ukrainian drones attacking the Russian excavators that have been, so I mean, it's, you know, going straight for the excavator that the excavators that are trying to construct these trenches. Pretty aggressively, the Ukrainians are doing that. I think I saw something like maybe more than 15 of these massive excavators have been destroyed by the Ukrainians. And we also had reports that there's this region of Russia called Chechnya, and the Chechen warriors are known for their ruthlessness. In the 1990s, there was a big freedom movement in Chechnya. But that was squelched by the Russians. The Russians killed the Chechen leader. And since then, they've really controlled that society. And they used the Chechens as their most ruthless warriors. And there have been many reports that the Chechens have been positioned behind the regular Russian forces that are trying, sort of at the northern border of Kharkiv. And the Chechens are there to shoot the Russians if, these Russian conscripts, if they try to flee. To run back toward Russia. And so what the Ukrainians are doing is now that they finally, these past weeks have had permission, they can use American missile systems like the HIMARS to hit the Chechen position. So the Ukrainians are trying to, they know that there's a lack of motivation among the Russian conscripts, and they're working now, or they have been working to hit the Chechens who are there to prevent the Russians from fleeing. So we do see a difficult situation for Russia there, thanks to this new permission from the U.S. And, then there's still the scary news on the horizon of North Korea, and the announcement that North Korea is going to send troops in some form to Ukraine. So everyone's sort of preparing for that. But right now we do see this, Ukrainians holding the line there north of Kharkiv, but still it's what people would call escalation management, because, again, that the Ukrainians are only allowed to use American tools to hit Russians right there near the border, up to about 100 kilometers, and they can't go further. And so that right now, I think that's the case Ukrainians are making, hey, we've been able to hold the line here. Let's get more aggressive. Let's go on the offensive to begin to put an end to this.
The Ukrainian military has been desperately trying to replenish their forces. They're on a large-scale mobilization campaign backed by some new laws, and it's reported that many Ukrainian men have answered the call to serve, but some have tried to evade conscription. Some are actually hiding. Joe, they may come recruiting you. Be aware.
I was just running in the park. I always have my passport, of course, with me. But as you have to in the wartime, there, you know, in this is it's a contention. I think there are these conscription forces. It's really a Soviet era office. They're not beloved here. I think the government, you know, sort of turns a bit of a blind eye to it, but they need it. They don't have a choice, especially seeing what we could face this summer. And while, you know, that new rule was passed for increased mobilization before the United States gave that permission for Ukrainians to hit back. So that rule was passed when things were really dire. Now we do see a few more positive things, but these operations are still in place. And it's for people who don't feel ready to fight. It's a scary time, and pretty soon they're going to face increased restrictions on, you know, they won't be able to get documents or to drive a car if they haven't registered with the military office. This is a reality. And Ukrainians resisted that type of control for 2 years, but this is a reality of how serious the situation is. And so there's a mix, you know. It's, and just think of, I think, you know, if you hear this story, think of how you would personally respond. And then this is something that everyone has to face in a very heavy way. And it's certainly a topic, and you can see it. I mean, if you go into the center cities, you know, often you see less people than you would normally, and because there is a fear of these conscription gains and gangs, and so that is, and it's I think from the Russian perspective, you know, when they see things like this, they're like, okay, if we just keep you know, putting the pressure, we can crack this country. That's their goal. And so in that sort of thinking of that, Kurt Volker, who was President George W. Bush's ambassador to NATO, he had an interesting perspective he put out yesterday. He was speaking with Euromaidan Press, which is the Ukrainian European news agency. And he said, you know, this, like, he knows there's not a willpower for Ukraine to join NATO among especially not in Washington. But he put forth this interesting idea. He said, what about if NATO agrees to protect Ukrainian territory that is still in Ukrainian hands? And just says, you know, Russia, you can't touch that. Well, we're going to protect that. And then when it comes to the territory that Russians are occupying, that's up to Ukraine. And so I haven't heard that perspective before, but it sounds like a reasonable way. So NATO wouldn't get drawn into direct confrontation with Russia, but they would say, hey, we're going to protect places like Lviv and Kyiv and Odessa. Mm. So we'll see if that argument gets traction, but it's a creative idea.
Yeah, we'll see. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine, thank you. We trust you'll still be available to talk to us tomorrow. Thanks.
Until tomorrow. Thanks, Bob.
All the news
from
next.
From somewhere. Who knows where?
Yeah, who knows?